Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Every team we play is going to be excited for the opportunity to come in here and knock us off. We got a target on our backs. We got to be ready.
Draymond Lowe spins to the rim, goes up and dunks it down. Draymond with a two-hand slam. Curry, deep three, right side, got it. Right on top of the hash mark.
As I said before, he's on planet Earth, he's in range.
Block away, Draymond with the reject. Here comes Curry, stops, shoots a three, got it.
And here we go.
It's time for the Warriors Wrap-Up. Here's your host, Matt Steinmetz.
Curry takes it across midcourt, comes left with a dribble. Curry bounce past Durant, to the rim with the right hand! Oh my goodness! Kevin Durant, a savage dunk! And the Warriors lead 101-91.
All right, everybody, welcome to Warriors Wrap-Up. Matt Steinmetz along with you, and the Golden State Warriors rebound from their long one-game losing streak and beat the Sacramento Kings 117-106 tonight at the Golden One Center in Sacramento. The most important part about tonight wasn't that the Warriors beat the Kings. That's secondary. The most important part of tonight was that they can officially put Friday's debacle behind them. And for the first 24 minutes tonight, it looked like we might not be able to put that collapse to the Memphis Grizzlies behind us. Quite simply, it looked like the Warriors weren't into it in the first half. They got down 16. They were still down 7 at halftime. And it was leading you to wonder if something funky wasn't going on with this team. But they came out in the third quarter and put together a strong 12 minutes, outscored the Sacramento Kings 39-22 in that period, took control of the ball game, and then won 117-106 at Golden One Center. I almost said the Arco Arena, of course. It's a new arena. And by the way, I was up there this afternoon, and it's a nice arena. It is a really, really nice arena. I think the Golden State Warriors would do well to send some of their executives there, check it out, maybe get a couple ideas or two, because I liked it. It was nice and tidy. It was nice and tidy. The Golden State Warriors weren't nice and tidy, though, in that first half. Got down 16, like I said, but the second half came around and they put it together. The starting five was very, very good as a whole, but particularly in the third quarter. Whether it was Curry, Thompson, Durant, Green, or Pachulia, each of those players was a positive tonight. Curry finished with 30 points, 6 assists. You had Kevin Durant with 28, 7, and 6. Klay Thompson finished with 18 points tonight. Draymond Green, 9 points, 10 assists, 7 rebounds. And even Pachulia, 10 points, 7 rebounds. But the biggest thing Pachulia did tonight was defend DeMarcus Cousins. And the bottom line with the Sacramento Kings is that DeMarcus Cousins and Rudy Gay, they played their best basketball of the evening in the first quarter. The first 12 minutes when the Kings went up 33-24, that's when Cousins and Gay were a factor. But when the Kings needed them to be a factor in the second half, neither of them really came through. And so the Golden State Warriors win tonight, but like I said, more important, they can now put Friday's game behind them. Or can they? Can you? Can you, as a Warrior fan, put Friday night's game behind you with just one win? Or was Friday night so catastrophic in a way that that loss is going to linger? The one good thing about the NBA, they always say, is the games come so quickly so you can't linger on one too long. But that's if you're a player. If you're a fan, and Miami's coming in here this week, and Detroit's coming in here this week, and you know you got Cleveland coming in next Monday on Martin Luther King Day, I don't think it's outside the realm of possibility to think that that loss to the Memphis Grizzlies is going to haunt some Golden State Warrior fans. There's no getting around that fourth quarter collapse. There's no getting around that this team has decisions to make down the stretch of a game about who they're going to go to, who they want to look to, and how they want to try to get big baskets. It also may haunt you that Zach Randolph and Marc Gasol completely had their way with the Warriors' interior. So can you put Memphis's game behind you because of tonight? Or doesn't that do it? Or is that Memphis game going to linger? 888-957-9570 is the number. The Penske Auto Sales text line, 95795. You can also hit me up on Twitter, at SteinmetzNBA. The Golden State Warriors beat the Sacramento Kings tonight, 117-106 in Sacramento. Next up, the Miami Heat on Tuesday. But the Golden State Warriors tonight get back on the winning track with a victory over the Sacramento Kings. We'll take your calls right after this.
You know what time it is.
Give me the green light.
Oh, yeah.
Cause I'm ready to go. Let's have a good time.
Let's go.
What you waiting for? You only got one life.
One life.
And we gon' live it up. So give me the green light.
Give it to me.
Cause I'm ready to go.
Because good ball fake, drives by Zaza, goes up, blocked by Durant. Patui over the head, toss to Curry. Curry goes all the way in, left hand, it's up and good. He scored it over Temple. What a play.
Now back to the Warriors wrap-up on 95.7 The Game. Here's Matt Steinmetz.
Welcome back, everybody, to Warriors wrap-up. Matt Steinmetz on 95.7 The Game. The Warriors get back on the winning track with a 117-106 victory over the Sacramento Kings tonight. Good balance from the big three. Stephen Curry with 30, Kevin Durant with 28, Klay Thompson chipping in with 18. And the Warriors overcome a sluggish first half, one in which they got down by as many as 16 points to beat the Sacramento Kings. And either yes or no, depending, put Friday's debacle against the Memphis Grizzlies behind them. All right, let's go out to the phone lines. Brought to you by Nation's Giant Hamburgers. Keep it real, make it Nation's. Let's go out to Lee in Santa Clara. What's going on, Lee?
Hey, Steiny.
How's it going?
You know, in answer to your question, I would say no. The issues brought up by that game on Friday, they just didn't go away in 2 days. I mean, it was a nice bounce-back win. Let's see how they do over the next couple of weeks, particularly against Cleveland.
Right.
Tonight, to me, it was all about rebounds. I think we've seen there's about maybe three or four stats you really need to look at every Warriors game. It's the turnovers, the opponent's rebounds, you know, three-point shooting percentage. Warriors out-rebounded the Kings 46-31 tonight. And did you notice how many offensive rebounds the Kings got tonight?
I did not. Well, I'm looking at it now, but I'll let you deliver the punchline.
The punchline is one. One offensive rebound.
Incredible.
The whole game. Yeah, so the Warriors out-rebounded them on the offensive boards 13-1. And, you know, at the start of the game, I thought, oh, gosh, this is going to be one of those games when, you know, Cousins goes for like 40 or something.
Right.
So they got that out of their system. And the other thing I wanted to point out is, I mentioned this the other day, I think we're seeing the renaissance, if you will, of Steph Curry. You know, starting about four games ago, he's really turned it up. 30 points tonight on 50% shooting, six assists, nice all-around game from him. And the question I wanted to ask you tonight, and then I'll take it on the air here, or off the air, I guess is the way to say it. Do you think the Warriors are going to make any trades, any moves at all?
It's a good question, Lee, and thanks for the call. Do I think the Warriors are going to make any trades? I think they're going to try. I think they're going to try, but I think you got to look at it realistically. They're not going to trade any of their big four, all right? So take those four guys out of the equation. Are they going to – could they trade Pachulia or JaVale McGee? I suppose, but is there a clamor for either of those guys? I would say no. If you take a look at the Golden State Warriors roster and you're another team, all right, if you're a young team, do you have any interest in David West, Sean Livingston, or Andre Iguodala? Probably not. I wouldn't think so if you're a young team. Then if you're a veteran team and you want to get over the hump, maybe you have an interest in one of those three guys, but it's going to have to be the perfect player, I think, for the Warriors to part with one of those players. Now, what I will say is Livingston and Iguodala are free agents at the end of the year. There's a good chance they're going to lose those guys. They're going to be hard to re-sign. So if the Warriors think that they're going to lose those guys for nothing, then maybe you do try to get somebody in here who you think can help. But there's a lot of things that got to come together right there. If the Warriors go get somebody, I don't think there's any doubt the player they get will be a physical type player. Whether he's a perimeter player or even an interior player, it's going to be a guy on the strong side, maybe a defensive type player, as opposed to an offensive type player. I think what happened against the Memphis Grizzlies was alarming. How the Warriors got beat up on the interior was incredible. And for as good as Kevin Durant has been on defense, and for as good as he's been as a weak shot, weak side shot blocker, he was overwhelmed trying to defend Zach Randolph in the low post. Now, you might say, well, so are a lot of people. Yes, so are a lot of people, but then you got to be careful about going to that small lineup if Kevin Durant can't guard those kind of fours. And that's one thing brought up earlier on the NBA this week. Say what you want about Harrison Barnes. Kevin Durant, obviously a much better player all around than Harrison Barnes, but Harrison Barnes was better at defending back-to-the-basket fours than Kevin Durant. He's infinitely stronger than Kevin Durant. So that's one area that scared me. But the other thing is, even a player like Tony Allen, who's strong and tough and physical, takes its toll on whoever he's guarding in the Warrior backcourt, whether it's Curry or Klay Thompson, because they're both somewhat slight of build. Let's go to Anthony in South City. Anthony, you're on Warriors Wrap-Up.
How's it going, Steiny, man? I got to be honest with you. If I was a Kings fan, I would be not too thrilled. They're in a race to go nowhere.
I agree.
Why are these guys, you know, hey, I get the coach. He's just started. They got a new stadium. They want to compete. But why aren't they letting the young talent develop and see if they even have anything? I mean, they're playing Anthony Tolliver and Garrett Temple over. I mean, maybe they're not good players, but I mean, I'd rather see Willie Cauley-Stein and Ben McLemore play if I was a fan. I don't get it.
That's funny. I have it written down here. I said, that's the game that's a head-scratcher if you're a Sacramento Kings fan. ... Willie Cauley-Stein, Ben McLemore, Malachi Richardson. Why would those guys not be playing? You're 15 and 22, but that's where they are. They're halfway in and halfway out. And it's where the Golden State Warriors used to be for a lot of years. A lot of years the Warriors would be at 15 and 22 trying to sniff an eighth playoff spot for what? I don't know. But, you know, I also see both sides, too. On the one hand, I'm thinking, well, what are you doing? Going for the eighth spot. On the other hand, I say, at some point, DeMarcus Cousins has to experience some kind of success. I mean, he can't be in the league 10 years without going to the postseason. In other words, get to the postseason one time, give him a taste of it, and then hopefully build from there. But again, you're right. I don't see how that happens either, because Gay's a free agent. I think Darren Collison's a free agent. And you're going to build around Cousins. So I'm with you. I don't like where the Kings are even a little bit.
Yeah, it's baffling. I mean, just take a look at their draft history too. Jimmer Fredette and Nick Stauskas. I mean, man, do these guys know how to develop? I just don't get it. But I think, you know, I didn't listen to your show earlier this morning. I'm listening to the podcast. But I think the biggest, besides the Memphis game on Friday, obviously that was a bad one, I think the biggest news of the week and biggest thing that Warriors fans should be alarmed of is the Kyle Korver deal.
Yeah.
That scares me. You can arguably say Cleveland Cavaliers have a better three-point shooting team than the Warriors now, and that scares the living you-know-whats out of me, because you know LeBron and Kyrie are going to drive the ball, kick out to the perimeter, and these guys are just going to be spotting up. To your point earlier, to what Lee said, I'd like to see someone get picked up. I don't know you know, do you offer a first round pick, a 2020 and a second? I don't know. I saw Tim Hardaway Jr. is available. Would he be the answer? A cure? Probably not. But you're right. I think we need to get another veteran guy off the bench and another wing player. Because I got to be honest, are we going to trust Ian Clark in crunch time in the playoffs?
Yeah.
That's a scary thought.
I mean, that's a good point. Thanks a lot for the call, Anthony. I hear you. If there's one thing about Korver, and I think it helps the Cavs, I don't think there's any doubt about it. He hasn't been making shots the last couple years like he did prior to that. I mean, he was up around 50%. I'd have to look at the numbers now, but he's not quite as automatic as he used to be. But he's a little more consistent than, like, J.R. Smith. You could say that. The other thing is, I think where he really helps the Cavaliers, too, is he just gives them one more player depth-wise. Because Mike Dunleavy wasn't playing, Mo Williams wasn't going to play, and so Kyle Korver is now a body you can use. Korver shooting 41% from three-point this season. That's still pretty darn good, obviously, but he was in the high 40s a few years back. Let's go to Patrick in Hayward. Patrick, you're on Warriors Wrap-Up.
Hey, thanks for putting me on. I love to see the Warriors win. I never take it for granted. And, you know, I'm starting to kind of catch the vibe of the Warriors, watching them play and watching them get more consistent. You know, I always wonder, I'm like, you know, why did they just lose that game the other day? You know, I always sit back and say they have so much talent on the court. Why did they lose that game? And sometimes, you know, you got to have Zaza step up. And I look at the Warriors and I say, where's their Shaquille O'Neal? You know, where's that one guy who nobody wants to, you know, do the layup up against? And they're shifting players around, and that's what Kerr's talking about when he says we're experimenting, because I feel like they're trying to find that one angry player. And as a Warrior fan, we need that guy. Like, we need that guy that just gets mad at everyone as soon as they start losing, because there's no reason for it. There's too much talent. But I see the consistency in them sharing the ball, and they're really a true Warriors team. So it's just hats off. You know, another win in the bank. That's how I see it.
All right. Thanks a lot for the call. Appreciate it. It may come down to the interior. It may come down to, can they rebound with the big boys? Can they prevent second shots? And can they respond when a team plays physically, not just up front, but in the backcourt too, on the perimeter? Because look, when you're playing, look at the Warriors' three best players. Steph Curry, Klay Thompson, and Kevin Durant. All right, three best scorers, let's say it that way, rather than three best players. They're all slight. They're all pretty skinny. You have to play physical against them. And if you can play physical against them within the rules, the Warriors haven't proven that they can be as effective against that style. So that's what teams are going to have to try to do. And I think the Warriors know it's coming, and it's going to be a matter of whether or not they can adjust to it. All right, when we come back, we'll take more of your calls. You're listening to Warriors Wrap-Up on 95.7 The Game.
Now Cousins steps through a double team. Tomer blocked inside. Draymond Green with a reject. The ball squirts out of bounds off the heel of Klay Thompson. What a block by Draymond. Curry screens for Draymond. Draymond goes down the lane, pass inside Iguodala, up top Durant. It's a three, and it's money, gold, hard cash.
Now back to the Warriors Wrap-Up on 95.7 The Game. Here's Matt Steinmetz.
Welcome back, everybody. The Golden State Warriors, 117-106 winners tonight at Sacramento. And they can put Friday's collapse behind them to the Memphis Grizzlies. Tonight's Key to Victory, brought to you by American Express, the proud sponsor of the Golden State Warriors. We're going to go with that third quarter. The Warriors were excellent in the third quarter, outscoring the Kings 39-22 and making up for a very sluggish first half. Let's go to Marvin in East Oakland. Marvin, you are on Warriors Wrap-Up.
What's up, Matt?
How are you, man?
I'm all right, man. You know, we just, you know, going on what the guy was saying about a trade. Hey, I'm just saying, man, okay, Embiid is doing so good for Philly that they're not even using Nerlens Noel,
right?
Who is a shot blocker, man. This guy is good, okay? I mean, he's so full. Petrula doing good, but Nerlens is younger and more of a shot blocker. Hey, they have this cat named Nick Stauskas. We can send Zaza Pachulia, and I hate to say it, Klay Thompson to Philly for Nerlens Noel and Nick Stauskas. We will be filling Klay's spot. He's a shooter just like him. We get scoring from Durant and Curry. I'm just saying, man.
All right.
We need inside presence. We need a shot block, man.
All right. All right, Marvin, I hear you. You know what, Marvin? I'll throw that out there. People can hit me up on the text line 95795 if they like that or not. I'm not crazy about it. I know Noel's young. I don't want another skinny guy. I don't know how, you know, they have JaVale McGee. I mean, I realize McGee's 28 or 29 and Noel's got his whole career ahead of him and he's probably going to be a better player than McGee. But I need some bulk. Let's go to Dre in Central Cali. What's up, Dre?
Your boy Marvin's crazy. A whole load of monkeys.
Yeah, I don't think I'm trading Klay unless I'm getting somebody completely proven back.
Not at this point. No, sir.
Yeah.
Hey, they haven't lost two in a row in, what, 120-some-odd games?
Yeah, 124.
Very nice. I like the way they played in the fourth quarter. But I didn't get a chance to listen to NBA this week. It wasn't on, was it, Steiny?
You know, we had a special time. We did it today from 1 to 4:30 before the game because the Raiders preempted us yesterday without which is fine. So if you go online, you can get it if you want. 95.7 The Game.
When I miss it, I go online. I like
cool.
I like to listen to you and your man JT over there. You guys know what you're talking about. You know what I'm saying?
Appreciate it, man.
But anyways. I was still mad about Friday. I mean, the total collapse, but the one thing that got me the most PO'd, Klay, hit one of the two free throws.
Yeah.
Klay, hit one of your two free throws.
Yeah.
You're a specialist at free throws. You hit a free throw, the game's over. We win.
Yep.
I just don't understand why it's called a free throw. And you guys, look at their field goal percentage at the free throw line. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, I mean, that'll happen sometimes, Dre. Hey, Dre, thanks for the call. Appreciate it, as always. Don't be a stranger. I hear you. And if it weren't Durant and Klay Thompson, I'd probably complain about it a little more. But those guys are really good free throw shooters. It's going to happen every once in a while. It's not the end of the world, the free throw shooting. All right, let's go back out to Sacramento and hear from Draymond Green, and we'll make this brought to you by Walnut Creek Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram, where savings is simple, online at walnutcreekjeep.com.
You know, we flew around. Zaza was incredible. Zaza caused some turnovers, able to get out on in transition, get some buckets, and once that happened, you know, we got a rhythm, and it was pretty good for us from there.
How hard did you have to speed to stay in the game?
Very hard. Trying to take me out, I'm like, Coach, I'm good. Like, no, I'm going to get you right now. No, I'm good. I won't get another foul. He's like, well, I thought you was good with the third one, but something random can happen again. I said, no, I won't get a foul. So he called me. He's like, all right, I'll give you 2 or 3 minutes, and then I'm pulling you out. All right, cool. Good compromise. I can live with that. So it was pretty good.
Quick timeout. 18 seconds to the game. Surprise? And why?
Surprise, yes. But I knew exactly why when he called it, because we had a game plan going in of, well, the way we wanted to guard Cousins the first play, and Zaza did his job, and nobody was there to help, and, you know, it definitely made a statement, you know, so it was good.
Did it feel good to hook up with Zaza on a few buckets today, assisting him? You guys have had trouble with that, but you're finding more chemistry.
I mean, you know, the more you play with each other, the more comfortable you get, you know, and can't say that we've had a big like Zaza, you know, that we've played with for the last 4 or 5 years. So, you know, you get more comfortable as the season go on, and, you know, he's getting more comfortable. You start to figure out where he liked the ball at, where he's going to be, and, you know, you do a better job of figuring it out. I think as of late, you know, we've been doing a better job of it, and, you know, it's been working well for us.
You've played with DeMarcus and against him a lot in the past couple of years. What are some of your favorite things about him as a player?
He's incredible. You know, he can score the ball. I think DeMarcus is the best center in the game. You know, I think a lot of times people try to a lot of times people don't give him that credit. And a part of it is, you know, they try to downplay his status because of, you know, his reputation, you know, or getting technical fouls or things like that. He is the best big man in the game, hands down. And, you know, it's always interesting to watch, you know, interesting to play against, interesting to play with. He's so incredibly talented. I mean, skilled. He can shoot the three now. Over the last couple of years, he's been added that to his game. He's always really had the mid-range. You know, he's taking guys off the dribble. He's pushing the full court, getting to the hole, getting down ones, just go to the post. I mean, you know, he's dominant. You know, and he's an incredible player. And, you know, he continues to get better year in and year out, regardless of what credit people try to take from him or, you know, try not to necessarily give him. He's the best five in there. He's the best center in the game, best big man in the game, period. Yeah, I just had a couple words for them, but we'll leave that where it's at. Nah, I ain't kicking no chair. I like my foot in one piece.
You guys pick up the defense early, late in the second quarter there, and then you really picked up in the third quarter there. What was it just a matter of, were they hitting shots early, or was it
They were hitting shots early, but we started off the game poor defensively. Missed assignment the very first play. And we did so bad with that assignment that the very next play we tried to do it too soon and gave up a corner three. And so we started off the game poor defensively. And when you let guys – they got talented players over there. You let guys get in the rhythm, they're going to make tough shots. You know, and all of a sudden tough shots aren't so tough. So all of us, you know, I say about the five-minute mark in the second quarter, they started to feel us. In the third quarter, we took it to a completely different level. But you have to break that rhythm first. You know, when you let a team get rhythm like that out the gate, sometimes it's tough to break, and sometimes you can't break it. We were able to do it a little bit there to end that half and then carry it over into the third quarter.
All right, that's Draymond Green talking about tonight's ball game, the Golden State Warriors 117, the Sacramento Kings 106. That's brought to you by Oaks Card Club. Play it smart, play it Oaks. And remember, Draymond Green sounds better on JBL speakers and headphones, the official sound of the Golden State Warriors and 95.7 The Game. When we come back, we'll check in with our very own John Dickinson, who was at the Golden One Center tonight and in each of the team's locker rooms. We'll be right back.
Good pump fake, drives by Zaza, goes up, blocked by Durant. Patui over the head, toss to Curry. Curry goes all the way in, left hand, it's up and good. He scored it over Temple. What a play. 18 seconds to go, and all the Warriors have to do is get it across the midcourt line. Well, the Warriors needed a bounce back win. They get it. A demonstrative third quarter where they scored 39 points, and they will go to 32-6. As they beat the Sacramento Kings 117-106.
Now back to the Warriors wrap-up on 95.7 The Game. Here's Matt Steinmetz.
Welcome back, everybody. The Golden State Warriors bounce back from Friday's loss to the Memphis Grizzlies. They beat the Sacramento Kings in Sacramento tonight 117-106. And let's head out to the Golden One Center. Talk to our very own John Dickinson, who was there. What's up, John? How you doing, man?
What's going on, Matt? Yeah, putting the capper on a nice long day at a Warriors victory here in Sacramento.
Yeah, let's start with the beginning of the game. I believe it was 18 seconds into the game, Steve Kerr calls a timeout after a DeMarcus Cousins dunk, I guess. What was that all about?
Yeah, it was a Cousins lay-in that wound up being somewhat uncontested. And on the play, they were supposed to have help to the baseline side. And Zaza Pachulia let Cousins spin to that baseline side. And he went right in for a layup. And there was supposed to be a double coming, actually, at that point. They had said in the pregame huddle that the first post-up for Cousins, they wanted to run a double at him. The double never came. Pachulia let him go, thinking he was going to have help. and it wound up being a layup, and Steve Kerr just called a timeout to kind of put everybody on notice immediately. And then Draymond Green revealed that on the second possession, the Warriors actually were supposed to do it again, and they went a little too soon, which led to an open three-pointer, and the Kings got on the board with their first 5 points that way. So the Warriors, it was a deal where they really weren't ready to go at the beginning of the game tonight, and they found themselves down 16 because of it.
Well, I thought maybe midway through the first half when they were down 16, they were quietly playing one of their worst halves of the year. They got some of it back at the end of the second quarter, and they went into halftime down 7. But I thought, all in all, it was a pretty poor effort in that first half. Then they save it all with a great third quarter. What was Steve Kerr's overall evaluation?
Yeah, he actually thought that they competed pretty well on the defensive end overall, those first couple of possessions notwithstanding. And the sentiment was more that the Kings made some tougher shots as the half went on, or at least in that first quarter when they put up 33 points to the Warriors 24. But yeah, as the half went on, you could start to see the Warriors find themselves more competitively on the defensive end. And you figured that the offense was going to come eventually, and it came with that barrage in the third quarter when the three-point shots started going in, and they really felt that defensive intensity from mid to late second quarter and then early in the third quarter is what really got them rolling and enabled them to kind of ignite the offense. You know, it's always a question. It's that chicken and the egg conversation with the Warriors. You know, what gets them going? Does the three-point shooting get them going, or does the defense get them going? Well, to a man tonight, the belief was among the Warrior players and Steve Kerr that the defense was what ignited the offense in that third quarter.
Yeah, and I guess if we're going to talk about defense, we got to talk about Zaza Pachulia. Did a nice job on DeMarcus Cousins. Cousins finished with 17 and 10, 5 assists, but he had 7 turnovers. He only was 4 for 11 from the field tonight. Pretty good effort from Zaza on the defensive end.
Yeah, we asked the question today when we were doing the NBA this week out here, you know, could he frustrate DeMarcus Cousins? And I think he did frustrate DeMarcus Cousins with the way that he played him. And I think that's always the key. And Cousins just was off his game, really, for the better part of the whole night. You know, Kevin Durant had the big block against him, which I think, you know, helped turn things in the Warriors' favor as far as momentum goes. And yet Pachulia's really coming along. You know, it wasn't too long ago we were having the conversation, you know, do the Warriors maybe need to upgrade a little bit at that position, or is there going to be some lingering concern? But he's played really well. He's done everything they could possibly want, really, the last 5 games or so. He's scoring the ball. He's efficient. He's playing that position defense and just looking more comfortable. And he ended up with the wow moment highlight of the night with that over-the-head pass that wound up being a Steph Curry layup off a Sacramento turnover.
Yeah, you know what I think's interesting, though, JD, is as I remember Pachulia being effective defensively, most of the time it came with DeMarcus Cousins facing up. When he's facing up, it just doesn't seem like they use Cousins as much as maybe they could in a traditional back-to-the-basket role.
Yeah, you know what? It's a mixed bag, and I, you know, we talk a lot. I watch a lot of games. I watch Sacramento a lot, being a team that's close by and a team that the Warriors may play. You know, it's hit or miss. They go through stretches where they really feed it to them a lot down there, and then they go through stretches where it's you know what it reminds me of? It reminds me of almost an NFL team that doesn't commit to the, you know, they don't stay committed to the run.
Right.
You know, they'll abandon the running game even though it's working. And I think the Kings at times go away from Cousins, or because he's such a skilled player, they want to run him off some stuff, you know, in the high post, or let him drive, or he gets a little 3-point happy at times, which, you know, there's some games where he can hit a bunch of them and that becomes a dangerous weapon. But I think at times the Kings, you know, go back to the game against Portland a couple of weeks ago when he had the 55-point game or the 52-point game. I can't recall, but he was in the 50s against Portland, and he was just dominating inside, whether it was Myers Leonard or Plumlee. And they just go through stretches where they just don't quite stay committed to it. And as the game went on tonight, it just felt like he was living more on the perimeter, which gives the teams a chance to defend him like you're talking about.
John Dickinson joining us from the Golden One Center. Last one, John. Did you sense in that Warrior locker room tonight after the game there were any lingering issues from the Memphis loss? Not a feeling, but were they still talked about? Was that game talked about as leaving a bad taste in their mouth?
No, I think they'd moved on from it, and I think you could even tell, you know, from the pregame press conference that it was done, and it was done yesterday at practice. You know, when Kevin Durant kind of addressed it again and said that he thought that Draymond Green made a good point with the fact that, you know, he thought they didn't need to be running pick and roll, or they needed to be running pick and roll and not an isolation play, rather, you know, late in that game. I think this team does a pretty good job of moving on. I mean, if anything, it was a little bit surprising that they didn't come out and play better early in the game, because, you know, this team usually, when they're angry off a bad loss, and Friday night was a bad loss, a rare bad loss for this team, you think they're going to come out and they're just going to really be buttoned up and play almost like they did in the third quarter in the first quarter. And it took them a little while to get going, which may have been a little bit surprising, but all in all, I think this was a pretty good win, you know, for the Warriors, really, you know, given the fact that the Kings were hitting a lot of shots early. And like you said, I mean, it looked like the Warriors were really going to be in danger of losing this game for 2.5 quarters or so.
JD, thank you so much, man. Appreciate it.
All right. Sounds good, Matt.
All righty. That's John Dickinson from the Golden One Center. That is going to do it for Warriors wrap-up. The Golden State Warriors beat the Sacramento Kings tonight, 117-106. They raised their record to 32-6. Next up, the Miami Heat. That'll be Tuesday. Coverage starts at 6 p.m. You've been listening to Warriors wrap-up on 95.7 The Game. I'd like to thank David Feldhaus and Ben Shaw. Thanks for listening, everybody.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.